coming up on KUCB News. Biologists want to hear from Unalaska sport fishermen. And vessels transiting the Bering Strait will soon have new safety guidelines. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, June 7th, 2018. Summer sport fishing has begun in Unalaska, and the Department of Fish and Game wants to hear how local anglers are doing.
There's about five people who regularly contact me and kind of give me a weekly update about what's going on, which I really appreciate. More would help too.
Tyler Paulum is the state sport fish biologist for the Aleutian Islands, and this is his third summer compiling weekly fishing reports based on anecdotes from Unalaska's anglers. He says the project grew out of concerns about the island's small run sizes.
The idea was to just get information out there regularly to keep people engaged and to promote some of the areas that have really good, healthy fishing opportunities and kind of steer effort away from those that are needing some protections.
Paulum says all information is helpful, whether fishermen are casting at streams along the road system or out in the pass.
Even if you went out and said, wow, we didn't catch anything in our usual spots, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Or, I went out to Summers Bay and I got the first red this year.
Sport fishing reports are published weekly from early June until September, whenever the silvers wane. Paulum says Unalaskans can share accounts of their fishing by emailing him or calling his office and leaving a voicemail. You can find his contact information on our website, kucb.org, where the reports are also posted. The first one will be up soon with fishing updates on Dolly Varden. Southwest Alaska's in danger of losing another school to low enrollment. Last year, it was St. George, before that, Cold Bay, and now, as KMXT's Mitch Borden reports, the school in the community of Larsen Bay on Kodiak Island could be next.
Holding bright yellow bags, students from Larsen Bay School run down the village's dirt roads looking for trash. It's the last day of school before summer break, and they're spending it doing a spring cleanup.
But I can't wait till this summer.
No more school.
As the kids scramble around outside, it's quiet back at the school, and there's a good chance it'll stay that way for the foreseeable future, because most likely, it won't have enough students to open in the fall.
I was sad that I was the last one, but I'm happy I'm graduating so I could move on to a different chapter.
Gail Aga was the only person to graduate high school this year in Larsen Bay, and could be the last, which made her graduation a big event.
Everyone knew that I was going to be the last one to win ever, and a lot of people showed up, and even people I didn't even know.
So, this is the gym. We just had graduation. It was awesome.
Walking through the building, Alice Aga, an aide at the school, reflects on how Larsen Bay used to be known for its sports teams. But now it's ending the year with less than 10 students.
Here's the trophy case. The 80s was the highlight of Larsen Bay. School, that is. They were basketball, volleyball, wrestling, everything.
Until recently, Aga was the community's mayor and sat on its tribal council. But now she's stepping down from those positions because she's leaving.
Well, if there's no school here, Mitch, I can't stay. I can't play the waiting game, I can't homeschool my kids. That's a whole full-time job, and I just can't do that. I have to make a living.
In Alaska, schools need at least 10 students to receive around $300,000 in state funding, which Larsen Bay School needs to open. Right now, the school only has two kids officially enrolled for next year, which is why Aga is moving to Kodiak and enrolling her kids there.
I think I'm still in denial about the whole thing right now. I'll probably break down, once I get to Kodiak. It's tough, this is home. Our whole life is changing.
Even though Larson Bay School isn't officially closed yet, people around the community are doing the math and know it's a long shot that they'll have enough kids to open the school, which many see as another sign the community is shrinking.
The young people move away and the old people are dying.
Jack Wick has lived in Larson Bay for decades and remembers when there were plenty of people living there and the main profession was commercial fishing. But he says that began to change in the 1970s.
Everybody fished. Even if you were a crewman, you knew you could work your way up to be a skipper. So after limited entry, a lot of them realized they wouldn't be able to get a boat.
Alaska introduced limited entry permits in 1975, which is a policy that restricts the amount of people who can commercially fish for salmon and other fish. At its peak, only around 10 Larson Bay residents had permits to run boats. But now it's down to less than half that because people left the village, sold their permits, or their permits were canceled. In the Kodiak region, the price of a salmon permit has ranged anywhere between a few thousand to over $100,000. That price tag can make it hard for people to get into commercial fishing, which is why Wick and others in Larson Bay believe this policy is partially to blame for Larson Bay going from having around 200 people in the 80s to about 60 full-time residents today.
The people in Larson Bay and other villages didn't have the money to compete and buy equipment to get into those fisheries, so they just start getting into other things, going to school, becoming something else other than fishermen.
The exodus of youth from Larson Bay is causing some to worry the community is becoming a retirement village, and that eventually people will only come out in the summer for the fishing season or to vacation at local hunting lodges.
Doreen Johnson, Mike Carlson, Leslie Johnson.
The walls of Larson Bay School are lined with the names of past students.
Nathan DeRowan, Tyson Theriault.
These names follow you around the building as a reminder of all the people who've also walked its halls.
Gladys, Charlie Aga, Joe Reft, Serenity Chai.
That sense of history isn't lost on Gail Aga as she thinks about the school's future.
I just never think it would close or anything. Because, I don't know, just didn't think it'd be real.
That prospect is real, though. But Aga may not be around to see how the school closure will affect Larson Bay in the long run. Like so many before her, Aga's planning to leave the village and head to college in the coming year. Reporting from Larson Bay, I'm Mitch Borden.
North and southbound lanes, speed limits, areas to avoid, those are just some of the safety measures in place for the world's busiest waterways. In the Bering Strait, however, there's nothing regulating where ships can go and where they shouldn't. But as APRN's Emily Russell reports, new standards were recently introduced to protect transiting vessels and the marine environment off northwest Alaska.
Ask Sharm Sederquist what the Bering Strait is like to sail through when conditions are good, and he'll smile.
You know, when you got a beautiful, calm night and everything's flat and you're just out in the middle of nowhere driving, it's kind of fun.
Sederquist is a captain for Cook Inlet Tug and Barge. He's made between 60 and 80 trips through the Bering Strait.
But when you're in a storm and nothing's going right, it's not as much fun.
Sederquist got his start fishing the Bering Sea, but now captains tugs that pull barges filled with things like freight or fuel. He says they plan their delivery schedule around the sea ice.
At the start of the season, you chase the ice north, you'd start working in Bristol Bay, then the Kuskokwim, then Norton Sound, and then after Norton Sound, you'd make your northern push up to Kotzebue, Wainwright, Kivalina, Point Lay, Point Hope.
Finishing out in Ukiagvik and Prudhoe Bay, most of the ships sailing through the Bering Strait are doing what Sederquist does. They're delivering goods to ports along Alaska's northwest coast. But unlike other international waterways, the Bering Strait doesn't have safety measures in place. There are no designated shipping lanes or shallow areas to be avoided. That's in part because, on average, the Strait sees the same amount of traffic in one season that the English Channel sees in a day. Still, that hasn't stopped environmental organizations from lobbying for regulations in the region for years.
One accident in this region could lead to catastrophic results.
Elena Argakova is an Arctic shipping advisor for the World Wildlife Fund.
The amount of wildlife, the diversity of wildlife, the fact that there are local communities that subsist on the marine mammals, and the fact that some of them are starting to be oil and gas tankers that Russia is sending to Asian markets.
Plus, the lack of emergency response infrastructure. Those things together make the region ripe for disaster. Agarkova says at first, Russia wouldn't agree on regulations for the Bering Strait, claiming the U.S. was trying to control vessel traffic. But now Russia is trying to capitalize on the shorter route to Asia, so Agarkova says they saw the value in making the seaway safer.
The fact that U.S. and Russia have managed to come to an agreement on these measures, you know, despite broader political discord, is really heartening.
That agreement is detailed out on a map of the Bering Strait. The map shows north and southbound lanes laid out on either side of the Diomede Islands. It also highlights St. Lawrence, Nunavak, and King Island as areas to be avoided. The International Maritime Organization regulates shipping worldwide and approved these standards. But like a lot of international law, they're voluntary. Tug Captain Sharm Setterquist says, actually, that doesn't matter that much.
It's like a car. If you have a bunch of DUIs, no one wants to insure you. If you're a shipping company that has a bunch of problems, no one wants to insure you. And that's why they have these standards, and that's why people are held to those standards.
Those standards go into effect in the Bering Strait on December 1st. In Anchorage, I'm Emily Russell.
Tomorrow, Unalaska is hosting its first artisans market of the summer. Organized by the Department of Parks, Culture, and Recreation, the market will feature food, crafts, and other goods by local vendors. The marketplace opens tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in the community center parking lot, although vendors must arrive early to register their tables. The community market will remain open for business until 8 o'clock. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.